Hello, my name is Debbie Boone, and I want to welcome you to my podcast, The Bend, where we explore how successful people navigated the path and emerged in a better place when life threw them an unexpected twist. It's inspired by one of my favorite sayings, "The bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the curve." These conversations will hopefully help you and inspire you to embrace your personal bend and to flourish. I hope you enjoy it, and if you need help with your own personal navigation and you're in veterinary medicine, please feel free to reach out to me at Debbie Boone, Two Managed Vets Consulting. Enjoy the bend and be inspired by our wonderful guest. Welcome. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's version of The Bend. I am really pleased to bring to you Sasha Oza. Sasha is the founder of the Positive Vet Tech. And when I saw that she had created this Facebook page, I was so excited that there was somebody out there other than me who was going, "I love vet med." And so I wanted to bring her on to The Bend and let you guys experience her positive attitude and talk to her a little bit about her bends in the road and how she got to where she is. So, Sasha, thank you for coming on The Bend. I am so glad that you are here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor. Thank you.
So, I always like to start at the beginning. So, tell us how you got into vet med.
Well, I started at the ripe age of 16 as a kennel girl. I had goals of becoming a DVM. So, I knew that vet schools wouldn't even give me the time of day if I didn't have any type of experience. So, that prompted me to go to my local veterinary clinic to apply. And I got the job and I was over the moon, ecstatic. I was so excited. Even being there, you know, just as a kennel kid, cleaning cages, just being around the animals and, you know, dogs, cats, and just learning everything I could. It was just, it was something that I knew that I wanted to be in. Yeah. And that's where I started originally. I do have experience all over the clinic since then. I've stayed in vet med since then. So I have had a long time with vet med.
Oh, well, I'm like you. I started, I was a volunteer. I didn't even have a paid job when I was 15 with my vet. And I think they tried to show me every disgusting thing they possibly could to discourage me from going into vet medicine. And the thing I remember the most is this little tiny poodle who had a huge mammary mass, and it was ginormous, the size of a softball, and a maggot or two in it. And I watched that surgery and went, "Wow, this is so cool!" And it you know, so I didn't faint, and they were like, "Okay, you're going to be okay." And they let me get in there and do a few more things. But yeah, I think your story is fairly common in vet med. Like, we know it, we want to do it, and we jump in with both feet. Then you kind of worked your way up as in the same clinic. Did you change clinics?
No, I was at that clinic for 14 years. Oh, so wow. I was there and grew a lot, and I learned a tremendous amount there. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I was there for quite a while. And then I eventually yeah. moved on.
So what was your curveball in life? How did life throw you a challenge?
As far as recently, being a practice manager now, there's just seems like there's a lot of negativity in vet med. And I don't know if it's after COVID or what really has spiked it, because I never really realized it before until recently. But yeah, it seems like there's just everything is negative, you know, around every aspect. So being a technician, even being a doctor. So yeah, that kind of really prompted me to see a need for something a little bit more positive. Mm-hmm. World.
Now, as a manager, have you noticed that you're having a difficulty hiring people? And I hear a lot of managers tell me that people are ghosting their interviews, and even the least little thing that goes wrong, they're like, "I'm done," and they're out of there. And I do think COVID had it started the ball rolling, but I think there's a lot of, as you said, negativity in our profession, and we're just constantly hearing that. So we're now seeking it all the time.
Yeah, we've been really lucky around like the heart of COVID. Things were really kind of strange. We really didn't have any staff. We had a really hard time hiring, of course, because it was just, you know, that time. But we've been really lucky lately, and we have a phenomenal team and a very strong team, and everything has been great. And we haven't had anybody that we've hired recently or anything that's ghosted or has done anything in that aspect.
Well, you know, it's really a relief to hear that it's getting a little bit better. And I kind of had that feeling that it was because I do some hiring for my clients and I'm getting some good candidates. I'm getting some people who I'm like, oh, I'm so excited that you're interested in this work. And I think that's great. I see that you attended Wayne State. Did you have a degree in animal science? What was your degree?
Yeah, so biological science. I was going for my DVM at the time. So I was doing my undergrad there and then I was going to move on. So yeah, biology, all the sciences.
Tell me about, kind of what prompted you into starting the positive vet tech and the way that you even find enough positive stuff to post. I think that's a cool thing.
So it was a day at the clinic. The week was just awful. We had a lot of euthanasias, a lot of really ungrateful clients. It was just a really trying week for the team. And I was trying to look for something online that was positive that I could share with them. A positive meme. There's all kinds of funny and kind of negative memes mm-hmm. about the profession. So I was looking for something positive to share. I could not find a single thing. Okay. So I looked on Facebook to see if I could find a group or something. No groups. Nothing. So I'm like, I'm gonna start this. So I started the group, and a lot of the memes and things I post, I make myself, just because there's really nothing out there. So I really felt the need that something needed to be created. And now we're almost at 15,000 members, which is awesome. So
yeah. That is really wonderful. I've been sharing the word and sharing your post and putting that stuff out there because I really do believe that we are going down a bad path. I was recently speaking at the AHA Connexity conference and I said, look, you guys, you need to stop this. You need to stop telling clients that they need to be nice to you because it feels sorry for me because I'm going to kill myself. That's not appropriate for people who really do truly need help. Yeah, let's put some systems in place, but we really got to understand how our brain works and we tend to mirror. So if we are mirroring negativity and that's what we start to seek, that's all we will seek. So I'm really happy that you have 15,000 people who are out there who want to mirror some positive messages and then send that through VetMed rather than all this snark and hatefulness that's out there in the world. It's rants feel good in the moment, but what they really do is train your brain to not have emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
And people don't like it when I say that, but there's, long scientific history of proof behind that. I didn't just make it up. It's a neuroscience fact that we need to learn emotional control and how to just take a step back and diagnose those situations rather than being very reactive to them. Now, were you a little nervous about putting this out there into the world?
No, not at all. I was kind of excited for it and like shared it all over the place with all of my friends. I was really trying to get everyone on board as much as I could. There are a couple of groups that still have more followers than we do, but I'm hoping to change that. Yeah, I'm hoping it continues to grow and more people start to change their mind. I think in one of my posts, I say, remember your why. Remember why you got into vet med in the first place. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people lose sight of that because the negativity just starts bringing people down and, breeding negativity and it kind of snowballs. So remember your why,
Well, when I used to teach all the Patterson communication classes, I would say, I want you to realize that to your core, your energy and every one of those little atoms has protons, neutrons, and electrons. We go back to our little physics classes. But the energy that you put out is often the energy that you get back. And you've got to make sure that what you're putting out there is good energy because then people feel that. But they also feel the negativity and they feel that if you are defensive, they feel that you are judgmental, then they are going to react badly to that. And we need to pay attention to keeping our mind under control. I'm really excited. I'm going to be speaking at the AVMA and the topic of my talk is your mind is a liar and why that matters.
Yeah,
because it does lie to us. It does. So let me ask you, when you were, that kennel kid and you were giving these opportunities, tell me what your decision-making process was. Now you're the manager. Did you really have to think, do I really want to take on that role? It's a lot of responsibility. It's a hard job, I know, because I did it for a long time. How do you decide big things in life?
You know, it was something that really just kind of came natural. I don't even know if I really gave much thought into it. It was something I knew I wanted to do. You know, since I didn't get my DVM, that I wanted to be in a management role. And you know, since I do have so much experience in the clinic, and again, you know, try to be a leader, not just a manager. So be a leader to help lead a team that can, you know, be positive and you know, promote great healthcare and you know, those things for our patients.
Now, I listen to the way that you are talking, and I'm thinking this is a girl who's educated herself about how to be a great manager. What is like some
Yeah.
of the books that you really feel like have benefited? Obviously, maybe Simon Sinek, start with why.
You know, as far as books, I'm trying to think. I know I've done a lot of continuing education and just every webinar I can on leadership because it was something I really wanted to learn. You know, a lot of people complain about, oh, the manager. It's like that also has a negative thing around it too, right? So
Yep.
I wanted to be different and I wanted to lead rather than just manage. And I really put a lot of effort in doing anything I can to try to make sure that how I was in a clinic setting was more of a leader than a manager, so.
Great. That's good. I mean, we have to, we have to do numbers, but mostly we have to do people. And if you get the people right, the numbers kind of show up because the people take care of the numbers when they are engaged and they enjoy what they do every single day. And I think that's sometimes I think that large corporations miss that it is really about the people and making them have a good environment to work in and training their management to be good, positive leaders too, because that's another complaint that I hear from team members is, our manager is the one who is the negative, the toxic person is the toxic head of the team, which is really a disaster. But I think a lot of times managers don't have the education. They don't get any training. They were a good tech, they were a good receptionist. Somebody said, "Hey, want to be the manager?" Sure, right? Here's more money. Okay, sure. And they don't teach them how to do anything other than maybe, balance a checkbook or, give them some numbers for inventory. But it's just such an important role in the hospital.
You are leading by example. So I feel like if I'm as positive and, you know, the staff comes to me with, you know, a client that's, you know, upset or something, and I try to handle it as, you know, as positive and look at it as a positive outcome, you know, for here late or, you know, all the things that are can be perceived as negative that happens with the clinic. You know, we're here late taking care of a patient, but look, we help that patient. That patient wouldn't have received care if we were not here for them. So I think leading by example and showing that there's some things that are not the greatest, but look at the positive that comes out of it.
All work has some negative aspects to it. And even for me, I mean, people look at the stuff that I do and go, "Oh, that must be fun. You travel all over the place and you speak." But you got to figure, spending times in airports, delays, your flights are canceled. The rental car may be stinky. I've had one just smell so much like smoke. I went and bought a can of Febreze and sprayed it so I could just drive it around. I mean, there's always good parts to it. I absolutely love teaching and going out to meet new people, but the travel part's not exactly a blast. And it's gotten probably worse than it ever has been too. So with all work, there's some negatives to it, but I think that you have to look at how much positive there is and what the things are that you're doing really well and the difference that you're making in the world and how much you enjoy doing certain parts of it that overcome. I always thought, gosh, we should keep a scoreboard because we have 99 really great clients a day and one that has been a total pain. And that one, man, we talk about it
Oh,
all
yeah.
day. Is that's the influence in our brain is the one and not the 99. We need a scoreboard. It's just 1%. It's just 1%.
1% just bring down the whole clinic. So, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm curious, do you consider anything that you have done to be a mistake in your career that you would have maybe regrouped?
Because I've always wanted to be a DVM, I think maybe. You know, maybe I should have pushed a little harder and went that route. I think that's probably my biggest mistake, I guess. But then you can look at it as a positive too, and maybe that wasn't really what I was meant to be doing. You know, maybe I was meant to be in this position, you know, managing a great team, leading a great team, bringing positive not only my team, but you know, also others as well. So really, I guess I could look be looked at as something as a mistake, but you know, maybe it wasn't meant to be. So
Yes. Well, I kind of feel the same way about myself. I was supposed to go to vet school. That was my goal, like you. And they did not get the vet school built at NC State by the time I finished undergrad. And then by the time it was done, I'd been out. I'd been married a couple of years. I didn't want to go back. And I could have gone to Cornell. My brother played football up there. And they go, "You want to go here?" And I've got to tell you, I hate cold weather. So I know you're from Michigan, but I'm from the South. Just do not do snow. I don't think so. So looking back on it, I think, yeah, that was really serendipity. I was not supposed to be a veterinarian, but I love the medicine. I love the science of it. I love being around it. Really don't want to do it. And I just kind of came to that. This is not my role here. It is not. It's there. I'm here to help everybody who wants to do that, do it really well and have a good life. But that's not what I was meant to be. So I think you're right. I think you're right. Now I'm curious because you are, managing a hospital, and usually what I'll ask is a question about networking and the connections that you make out there in the world to kind of promote your career or get things done through the people that you know. Do you utilize a network to accomplish goals?
Say so. I feel like I know a lot of people in, they say vet med is really large, but it's also really small because it's everyone's really close-knit. So I think I do know a lot of people, in the field. And, if I have a question, even if it's, a management question that I can ask, I definitely reach out to my peers and, ask certain things. And also, as far as going back to the positive vet tech, asking them to share the information with their staff to help them as well to maybe help bring up their morale and their culture in their clinic. So I think networking is very important in whatever profession you're in, and making good connections too. So always being a positive and good connection.
Well, you got to remember that you are, what is it, the sum of the people you spend the most time with. So make sure that those people are people that you want reflected in you. And
Yes.
they don't pull you down, but rather they lift you up. And I think that's sometimes we get like the little mean girl cliques, and all those people are just hovering together and making each other worse instead of making each other better until you kind of find out the ringleader and break that stuff up. And you're working right towards your CVPM, I understand.
Yes,
Yes.
that is a goal of mine. I am working towards that and hopefully be testing soon and things like that. So hopefully though I'll have some letters after my name after
Yeah,
that. So that'd be
that
great.
sounds good. Yes. Well, it's an accomplishment, and it doesn't
Yes.
stop there because we are required to get 48 hours of continuing education every 2 years. I said that to a veterinarian at VMX, and he went, "Oh my God, that's more than we have." And I went, "Yeah, well, it was easy. Everybody would do it, right?" So
Yeah.
it is a challenge, and it is, I wonder if people really do know how difficult it is to do because you required college education and letters of recommendation, and then that 200 question test that's a
Yes.
proctored exam.
That
And then the kids,
test
yeah,
intimidating.
it is intimidating. I'll have
Yeah.
to tell you though, when I took it the last time you had to take it in person, and I took it in Texas, I walked into the exam. And three of my good friends were the proctors. And I had no idea. We'd gone to dinner the night before with a bunch of other people. They never said anything about what they were doing. And I walked in and I went, "All right." Because I just immediately, even though they weren't going to help me, right?
Yeah.
It was just a relief to have people that I knew that you knew were kind of rooting for you over there, going, "Yeah, you got this," kind of deal. And when you finished, it was like, "Yay, you finished your test and you went out." So I remember it. Oh man, that day just sticks out in my mind. I can just picture that room and that hotel and taking that test out of that manila envelope, going, "Oh God, do I even remember all this stuff?" Because it is a lot. It is a lot.
Yeah, just looking over the study guide, I'm like, oh boy, this is a lot. I think I need to work on this quite a bit more.
And I think, let's see, I took it. Well, let's see, I got mine, and I'm looking at my award there, 2011, 2011. So think about how much more we have to know now because there's all the technology stuff that's come into it. There's a whole new kind of group of medications that have come out since then. And it, you know, and inventory control has changed because of the technology changes. So there's a lot to kind of redo and revamp. So I'm glad I'm not one of the CVPMs who poses questions for the test. It's a little harder to do. I do want to talk to you about your cat rescue work. So tell me a little bit about how you got involved in that.
Yeah, so the president of the rescue I met, she started coming to a clinic I was working at. And I was involved with rescue prior to that. But she was just someone that was just very genuine, more genuine than anyone else I've met in rescue. So I really kind of gravitated towards her. And I'm like, I wanna help you. So I really kind of have stuck with her ever since. I'm the executive director now of the rescue. We're Michigan Cat Rescue, but we do dogs as well. I think I mentioned to you earlier that I have a little dog foster, a little Shih Tzu. So we won't turn a dog away that needs help as well. But yeah. We actually are just celebrating our 20 years, 20 year anniversary this coming May. So it's been around quite a while.
Oh,
so.
That's really cool. And yeah. I'm just sitting here going, okay, so you've started this Facebook group and you're the admin of that and you're managing a hospital and you're the ED of this cat rescue.
Yeah.
When do you do anything else? Tell me about your life balance. Hopefully there is some fun stuff in there for you.
Yeah, I do have a life balance. I love doing everything I do though. So it's really, you know, if you love what you do, you don't see it as work. So I really see that with the rescue and my job and the positive vet tech group as well. So that's also really fun for me. But, you know, I really love to travel. So that's one of my kind of things I do on my downtime. We actually were just in London and Portugal and the Canary Islands. So that was a wonderful trip that we just went on. And we saw Stonehenge, which was, you know, one of the 7 ancient wonders of the world, which was amazing to see. And a couple of years ago, we were in Italy and Greece, and we saw the Colosseum and the Sistine Chapel and all of those things that you kind of read about, you know, in school in a textbook. Seeing it in person is just a whole nother feeling. So I definitely have the travel bug. So I do on my downtime.
Those are all things on my bucket list. Many years ago, I was supposed to go to Europe, and it was about the time that they decided to start bombing planes over there. So it was with a school group, and they went, no, we're not sending a group of kids over while the Irish Republican Army is blowing up things. So obviously that settled down, but then some other things come up, and then, you know, life is busy and careers. Then I was traveling all the time, and the thought of getting on an airplane for fun was kind of like, ugh, you know, after all that. But my husband's retired, so now we don't have to work around two business owner schedules, and I have a lot of flexibility in mind. So we're planning trips and hoping to go to Italy first, and then I do want to go to Paris and see the Louvre. And I'm an artist, or used to be when I had time. I used to paint. So just going to see the art there is one of my bucket list things. And
we were supposed to go there COVID, but you know, that ruined that. So yes.
That too put a cramp in my travel bug, because I had all these frequent flyer miles, right? I was going to go everywhere on my frequent flyer miles. Well, then that didn't play out at all.
Yes.
Because I couldn't fly. Oh, well. Tell me what advice you would give me. You're putting positive things up there, and you're searching through lots of positive materials to try to help people. What advice would you give somebody who was facing a big life or a big career decision?
Don't look at it as something that's negative or scary. You know, change is always scary, and making decisions is always scary, but think of it as something new in your life and a positive. Have that positive outlook on it.
I told a veterinary practice owner one time when he said, Debbie, change is scary. And I said, Toby, if it wasn't for change, you'd still be spraying everything with Adam's flea spray. I said, you know, life is always changing, and you got to embrace the change. And so looking at it as something that's exciting and new, rather than, oh my gosh, you know, it's changed. Of course, our brain doesn't like to change. Our brain likes things the same way they've always been, because then it doesn't have to expend any extra energy. And I think sometimes that's, you know, when you're thinking about positive and negative, being in the habit of looking for either positive or negative stuff is truly that. It is a habit that you, it's a muscle you can build. And I'm curious, do you catch yourself like changing your brain, like grabbing your brain and you're going, okay, now, you know, I got to think about this in a different manner. I've got to stop. And I was going down a negativity rabbit hole there. And now I need to stop.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there's things that always can catch you off guard or just have that certain effect on you. And, you know, sometimes I will start dwelling on it and things like that. But then, you know, you have to just kind of stop yourself and try to change your mindset. Because if, again, like go down that rabbit hole and negativity breeds negativity. And I don't want that in my life. I want positivity. And so I definitely try to change that and flip that switch for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think I told you before we got started that I talked my husband into driving up to Michigan to get a new puppy, a 14-month-old Bichon. And those first couple of days were really pretty rough because the dog was getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we usually sleep later than that, and barking his head off to be taken out and to eat because that was his breeder's routine. And it was like, what have we done? You know, and then you'd think, well, maybe, you know, I really made a mistake. But then, you know, have to talk about all the fun things that this dog has brought to my life and the positive stuff. And of course, animals are easy to do that with, but you have to look at other things the same way, start to measure the positive parts of it. And even when, you know, if you lose a job or, you know, like you, you didn't go to vet school and neither did I. So what's the positive outcome of that? And I think sometimes it's easier when you're a few years out from it to look back on it and go, okay, because when you're in the moment, it's hard. It's really hard to just go, okay, this is a positive thing. I just lost my job. Oh my God. You know, usually it works out. This is one of the things I found in doing all these episodes of The Bend. We're like at 60, around 61, 62 episodes now. And almost everybody has universally said, I went through this valley. On the other side, I came out much higher and better off than I was before I went through it. And now I really appreciate it because you look back on that and go, man, that was rough. That was really hard. But you know what? I got there. I got through it. I was resilient. I was tough. I, you know, I learned a lot of stuff about myself and my own strength when I moved through it. And I think that's a way to look at hard times rather than just giving up and rolling over and playing dead. I've never have been really one of those people who's like, poor me. I'm like, attack it.
Yeah, you have to.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit more about the Positive Vet Tech. Tell me what kind of feedback you're getting from people who are participating.
I've gotten amazing feedback. So people have sent me private messages or they'll be commenting on things. And so many people have thanked me for coming out with this. They said, you know, they agreed. They said it's so needed right now in our industry. And it was just, you know, the negative groups can just bring you down so much that this was just such a breath of fresh air. And kind of made them stop and, flip their switch and be like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I do remember when I first got my first vet job and how excited I was. Or, you know, I do remember when I was first in, you know, was accepted to vet school and, you know, and just kind of relighting that passion for vet med. And, you know, sometimes it just takes someone to kind of remind you, remember this. So mm-hmm. I've had such great feedback. People were thanking me and said that it was something really needed. And, especially with mental health issues nowadays, I've had quite a few people that, you know, came to me and said, you know, I've been in quite a dark place and this has really helped me. And that really made me feel good that I made such an impact that, you know, I could maybe help someone get out of that dark space.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That is worth all the time that it takes to do that. I agree with you. I a couple of years ago, Suicide Prevention Day, I wrote a blog about my father because my father committed suicide when I was 16. I'm not better off. You know, he missed all these things, my wedding and my prom and all these things. So if you are thinking that your family is better off without you and your mind is telling you that lie, please understand that's not true. You know, that is not true. And I'm the survivor who's telling you that. And this man I did not know messaged me back and said, I can't even tell you how grateful I am to hear this, because, you know, I was really thinking that that was not, that I didn't matter, you know, to anybody. So we can help strangers in just these small ways. And they're just like little miracles. And we might not even know who we've helped. But I really, like I said, was so excited to see it. And I do feel like we need to share these good positive messages, and we need to start training our brains to look for the good, because we are training it to look for the bad.
Yeah.
And we're looking at negativity all the time.
In our life in general too, not even in the industry.
Exactly. Yeah.
But especially in the industry, I know there's so many people leaving VetMed right now because they're feeling this negativity, and it's so sad. I'm not sure if it's like this by you, but I know a lot of clinics and especially emergencies are telling people there's going to be 12-hour waits at the emergency. And the reason is because they don't have the staff. Yeah. So many people are leaving to, you know, do other things, but you know, I just want people to know how appreciated they are and how needed they are, you know, and how much, what a difference that they make in the vet med field, you know, even though it can be, you know, trying, it can be tough. Tomorrow's always a new day, a better day. So there's always that to look forward to.
And the good thing about it, and I wonder if you've noticed this since you've been doing this and really working with your team, is that the more you do that, the better the public treats you.
Yeah.
And it really, it's kind of this self-fulfilling prophecy. So if everybody in the team is really positive, really looking to serve clients and patients and do a great job and be paying attention to people and listening to them rather than giving them judgment or, you know, a little attitude, well, your life turns around. I mean, your customers feel that, and they are much more fun to work with. They come in feeling excited to see you rather than going into a place of negativity where they dread coming in, because it's like going to battle. And I know that, you know, I managed a couple of hospitals when I started working at one. I was actually hired to kind of fix this problem, but it was terrible customer service. And I've been there a few weeks, and his client came in and he was upset, and I brought him back into my office and I said, tell me your story. Tell me what's going on. And he said, you know, I feel like I have to come to battle to come here. And I just said, why do you come? And he went, because I know that these are really great doctors, but honestly, it is not fun to come here. And I went, I'm going to work on changing that. And so when you do make a change, you do kind of lift this cloud of negativity, or, you know, negative clients or people who come in automatically defensive because of the way they've been treated in maybe in the past. And yeah, you know, some people just are jerks. They just are. And that's the way they are. You know, life has maybe treated them poorly and they did not have a positive attitude. And they have gone down this continuous negativity spiral. But the rest of people are just, you know, especially when you serve them well, they're so excited to be paid attention to be served very well, and they will respond back. And I bet your practice is like mine. I used to tell people I hired, the first thing that's going to happen to you is that you will gain 10 pounds because people will bring you stuff. And we had cakes and candy and popcorn and meals and all this stuff that brought to us all the time. And it was because our clients really appreciated how they were taken care of.
And, you know, they might be having a bad day too. So maybe they're having some kind of something going on in their life. And my doctor's really awesome at doing this because, you know, the staff will come in and they'll be like, no, so-and-so's here, but mom's really upset about this and crabby about that. And she'll get on the phone or, you know, go talk to the client and be like, are you having a bad day? And the client will almost break down like, yes, oh my God, this is going on. Yeah. So a lot of times, you know, they're not, you know, there's something going on in their life too. And I know that's hard for us to see all the time. But, you know, just kind of getting their story and realizing where they're coming from really helps a lot. And then you can kind of change the conversation around and say, like, why am I going through all of that? And I'm really sorry, but, you know, let's help Fluffy or whoever, whatever patient there is.
Yeah. I can remember that made me think about a story that happened a long time ago when I was managing We had a really great client who did a lot of feline rescue stuff. She did, she'd like catch cats in the park and have them spayed or neutered and release, ear notch them and release them. And she spent thousands of dollars with her hospital that she hid from her husband completely. She had a separate checking account for the cats. But she came in one, she called one day and she wanted to speak to me. And the staff said, I'm sorry, I was in with somebody, she's in with meeting. And can we help? No. And she hung up, which was very abrupt. And so they came and said, you know, Sally was really kind of mean to us. She wants you to call her back. And so I called and I found out what had happened. And she had just discovered that her father had colon cancer and he was stage 4 and she was going to have, she had all these pets. She needed to board them. She needed to leave town to care for him for, you know, weeks on end. And it was just, you know, her emotional fragility at that point in time. And she didn't, she just needed somebody she knew who could manage it all for her. Yeah. And that's why she wanted to talk to me. So I went back out to the front desk and I went, hey, here's what's going on with Sally. And of course they all felt bad. I said, so you never know what's happening, you know, on the other side of that counter or that phone. So give people some grace and realize that, you know, it's not about you. It's about, you know, whatever happened to them before they even got into your building, recognizing it and thinking, oh, you know, I'm sorry you're having that bad day. Because people like to be paid attention to. They like for you to care. Mm-hmm. And once you do, it's like what you said, your doctor does that for people. And they're so appreciative of that. I mean, it creates such great loyalty. And it's not only that, it's just a kind thing to do, right?
Yeah.
It really is a kind thing to do. So let's talk about some fun stuff. Do you have a secret talent? Do you have a favorite song? Something that people might be surprised to know?
Surprised to know. Well, when I was growing up, I really loved Hanson. I don't know if you know the group Hanson, that bop song. So that's kind of my secret favorite song. Kind of silly, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. See how, but like when you were like 10 or 12, that young. Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Any final words of wisdom? Anything that you would like to say, kind of like about yourself or the Facebook page, or I mean, I'm assuming that anybody can join. Do you have to be in Vet Med or?
Well, I had that originally, but I do have a couple DVMs in the group, and they were actually saying some of their clients were joining. I don't know why they would want to, but maybe they saw their DVM in there and they were like, oh, I'm going to follow them in there. And they were commenting on some of the things that they were saying. So I actually just recently changed it to a more of a private group. So only Vet Med.
Okay.
But everyone's welcome. DVMs, tech students, reception, kennel help, you know, anyone is welcome. So, you know, anyone in the field is welcome.
Perfect. Okay, perfect. So as you've been going through and making memes, do you have a favorite quote, or have you built a favorite meme that this one sticks out more than all the rest of them is your favorite?
You know, I really love all of them. I'm so proud of all of them, to be honest, because it does take a lot to put into it to make them. And I connect with every single one of them. But I think there's one, there's a little dog in the picture. And I think it says something along the lines of, you know, I get to go home with my mom or my person because of you.
Oh, yeah.
And I want everyone to remember, you know, we're here to help these animals. And if we're not here, they're not going to get the help that they need. So I really wanted to make sure everyone knew that you're appreciated and you're making a difference. And this animal is alive or is okay now because of you. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think we just need to remember celebrating the successes. Because I can just remember having, you know, I've been doing this since 1985. But having animals that come in and you're like, oh man, they're not going to make it. And then, you know, a week later, they're walking out the door or their owners are coming to get them. And you're like, that's just a miracle. I mean, it just really is. And you have to appreciate the talent of vets and the techs and all the people who work hard to make that happen and the extra effort that goes into taking care of a case that's that critical. The joy of the client when it's reunited. And it's so funny because I think we stress about, oh my God, the bill and Yeah, but you know, if you've been informing people, they should be prepped for it. But then sometimes people, they're just like, I don't even care. You know, my pet is back and look at what you did. And that's, you know, we should throw parties for that. We really should. Oh my goodness. Well, Sasha, it's been a pleasure to have you on, and I really appreciate your time. You've worked a whole day and then done this for us after hours. And so that's above and beyond the call of duty. So thank you very much. We will have your Positive Vet Tech link in the show notes, and you have an email address if anybody wants to reach out to you
Yes.
one-on-one, and maybe they want a job in your practice.
Yeah, that's great.
We can connect you. And you know that you're going to be working in a great positive place, that's for sure. But thank you very much for your time. And thank you for putting this Facebook group up. And I know that it is going to make a difference in all the people who are participants in it. And I just hope that people flag it as a favorite and they are engaged in it and they look at it every single day intentionally, because it will make them enjoy their lives better. And you've done a great job with that. So I thank you so much for that.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're quite welcome. We'll have to do it again. Well, a year from now we'll revisit it. We'll see. We're gonna change the world here. Thank you again. And thank you to everyone who's listened to this episode of The Bend. As we said in the show notes, you will have all the contact information for this marvelous positive web page, for a Facebook page, and to be able to connect with the amazing person who had the brilliant idea of building it. Thank you for visiting us on today's episode of The Bend.